I'm so glad you're here. Have you not been... There is a sense of excitement tonight, and I don't know what it is, but I have been, like, totally... Woo! Wow, you are on fire tonight, Michelle. Woo! All right. Yeah, maybe that's it, eh? Little bit of caffeine. Okay. So tonight, we are going to continue on. So just to welcome you, if you haven't come before. So just to kind of catch you up on where we are, we'll start with the lean-in question, and then we can kind of catch up on where we are at. So there is a question, what has consumed your thoughts? So as even as you've come here today, and maybe this week, what has consumed your thoughts? What's been kind of number one? And then, if you've shared that, how do you know what God wants you to do? Just some nice, light, easy questions for you at your table group. So, I'll leave that to you, and we'll come back in a few minutes. All right, ladies. So I'm sure there's been a ton of things consuming your thoughts this week. Anybody want to throw out just one thing that has been consuming your thoughts? Life, that pretty much sums it up. Maybe a little. It is. It's funny, Abe. We laugh because it's so broad, but really, when you start to think of it, it's like, it's life. So tonight, we are going to continue on with what we started 4 weeks ago. Can you believe this is our fifth week? We're halfway. Tonight, we're halfway, ladies, of this Abide series. So the first night, Joy reminded us that there's a cost to being a disciple, to be a follower of Jesus. And I'm sure you have, part of that cost has been doing what you've been doing the past 5 weeks and being here and being in the Word and seeing what it really means to be a follower of Jesus. And then we looked at when we come into relationship with Jesus, we are in Christ. We are bubble wrapped. We are saved. We are secure. And we are significant. But we need to stay in that. It's not that our position has changed. We are always in Christ with Jesus, but we need to stay in fellowship with him. We need to abide with him, in him, his love, his word, and his light. And not only are we in Christ, but he has said, if you abide in me, I will abide in you. You abide in me, I abide in you, Christ is in us. He's placed his Holy Spirit in us to live the life of Jesus through us. His Holy Spirit renews us and empowers us to live the Christian life because we can't live it in our own strength. And why does he do that? We looked at last week. Because what Jesus has done for us, we now have a mission to be ambassadors for Christ, to share his love with others and to tell them about our awesome Savior Jesus. So, how does God do his mission through us? First of all, in the next few weeks, we're going to go through the different parts as God works in and through us. Tonight, we're going to talk about our mind, and then Joy is going to take over from there and go on to our emotions, our body, our will, and our relationships. And so, what does a disciple look like through all of those means? So tonight, we're going to focus on Romans 12, 2. So can you turn in your Bibles to Romans 12, verse 2? And I'm sure you had this in your homework, and we looked at it a little bit, but we're going to look at it in a bit more detail tonight. In the version I have, the NASB, it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." I found the Message version to be kind of tells you as it is. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. Can we just pray before we go on? Lord, we are so thankful to be here tonight. What a joy it is to be with this group of women who just love you and are just so hungry for you, Lord. So God, as we come before you and you show us about what a disciple's mind looks like and acts like, that God, your Holy Spirit would teach us that any preconceived ideas we come of our own, we will just let you take control of and just allow you to teach us, to show us, to shine the light on this area of our life. Lord, that maybe we have wrong thinking about, or maybe we need to live out more. Whatever it is, God, may we just be willing, may we come to you with open hands tonight to have what you have for us, God. And not because it's a rule or anything, but it's just because we know you love us. And we know, God, that you want your best for us. And we know that you are for us. And God, that you want to use us, which is so amazing. So God, thank you for this night and this time in your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's going to be three things that we're going to focus on tonight. The first one is that we are not to be conformed to the world. Don't be conformed. And he specifically says in the passage in Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to this world. We need to look at our mind because our minds changed. Our minds are some way before we met Jesus, and then there's a change after. So our minds before Christ, some of these verses you saw in the homework, but there's some others. So in Philippians 3, it says that we were enemies of the cross of Christ, and we had our minds set on earthly things. In Jude 1:19, the ones who cause divisions, they're the worldly-minded, merely natural, devoid, totally absent of the Spirit. In Titus 1:15-16, the mind and conscience is defiled, and they deny him by their deeds. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the enemy has blinded the minds of unbelievers. In Romans 8, which we kind of looked at a couple weeks ago, the mind is set on the flesh. The mind set on the flesh is death, and it's actually hostile towards God. And how this all happened was in Romans 1:25, they exchanged the truth of God for their lie. But then we meet Jesus. And Jesus, as we looked at last week, he so lovingly gave up himself for us that he took the penalty for our sin on himself. He became sin who had no sin and died on the cross and took the penalty that we deserved. But because of his great power, God raised him from the dead and he defeated death, and that penalty is already taken care of by Jesus for us. We just need to believe that he died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead, and that he comes to be our Lord and Savior. So our minds after that, the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace, and the one who trusts in him, the mind is steadfast. Such a difference, isn't there? So we have before Christ, we have this hostile enemy mind, and then after Christ, the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. But, as I'm sure you found out when you were talking about what consumed your thoughts this week, our mind isn't always life and peace, is it? There's all kinds of things that come in. And the problem is, in 2 Corinthians 11:3, our minds can be led astray from the simplicity and purity of our devotion to Christ. And the other problem is that our actions follow our mind. So what we believe, that's what comes out. That's what we do. And so, Paul gives the Romans this warning. Don't be conformed to the world. The word conform means actually to fashion or shape like one thing or another. It's kind of the outside version. So at Christmas, my mom and I got to go to Orlando for Christmas. It was like this totally out of the blue gift of God, and I think I smiled for 6 days. Anyway, one of the days, my friend really loves Disney. I was telling a couple ladies earlier, and she wanted us to have the Disney experience without going to Disney. So she gave us tickets to Cirque du Soleil, which is at Disney. I guess it's called Downtown Disney. I didn't even know this place existed. It's like some shops, but you still get the Disney vibe. And as soon as I walked onto the Disney property, you see all these people with the Mickey and Minnie ears. And all of a sudden, my life was incomplete. I'm like, I need mini ears. I am nothing without mini ears. And I'm walking through downtown Disney and I see more and more, and they're all adults. Maybe a few kids have them, but a lot of them are adults, and they all have their ears, and I'm like, I am missing out. So that would be an example of me conforming to life at Disney, because I wanted, on the outward appearance, to have my Disney, my mini ears. Now, I did buy, to get it out of my system, I bought a teeny tiny little keychain that I was going to show you, but I visited some friends' kids before I came here tonight, and mini ears are no more. I know, I'm still getting over it. It's a little sad. But anyway, I know. So, we are not to be conformed. And not only that, there is another problem, is that we have an enemy. And we have the enemy in Satan. And what is Satan called in John? There's all kinds of verses in the book of John. He's called the ruler of this world. He's called the prince of the air. But the other problem with Satan is that he is a liar. And in John 8, Jesus tells the Pharisees this. He's a liar, the father of lies. He's a murderer, and there is no truth in him. There is not one speck, ounce, minuscule part of Satan that is any part of truth. But another problem, so if that wasn't enough, he disguises himself as an angel of light. So it looks good, but on reality, there's no truth in him. And James warned the people in James 4:4. He says, "You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God?" And that should, after we looked at what our minds were before Christ, what was one of the words they used to describe our minds before Christ? Hostile. Friendship with the world is hostility toward God. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. And the message, again, kind of hits it on the head. Don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. Practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from him. The world and all its wanting is on the way out. But whoever does what God wants is set for eternity. So that's what we want. We can get so used to living here, can't we? We can get so used to the world. That's where we are. And it can become so homey, can it? And we have to remember that friendship with the world is hostility to God. But we also don't want to swing the opposite way and so isolate ourselves that we're not doing our mission, which is what God has us here in the first place. So that's what we're... So what do we do? So the second thing is, be transformed. So we're not going to conform on the outside. We're going to be transformed. And transformed is this word metamorpho, which is actually the word you're changing into a whole new form. The word is, the only other time it's used is describing Jesus when he is transfigured before Peter, James, and John. And what happened then in Matthew 17:2, his face shone like the sun and his garments became as white as light. So this transformation, it's in one of the dictionaries that said the obligation is to undergo a complete change, which under the power of God will find expression in character and conduct. And the word morph, the one part of the word that morphe lays stress on the inward change. The present continuous tense indicate a process. So from this, we can say it's a complete change. It's under the power of God. And instead of this outward change, it's a change from the inside out. And it's a process. So it's not going to happen instantly. It's going to be a day to day. We're going to do it again today. We're going to do it again this minute. We're going to do it again this hour. We're going to do it again and again and again. Okay? So we are going to be changed from the inside out. And how do we do it? We do it by the renewing of your mind. And that word renewing from Titus 3:5 is that what the Holy Spirit does to us. He renews and he regenerates. That complete change for the better. So, but how do we do this? How do we be transformed? Three more things. We need to take down the lies, we need to put up the truth, and we need to keep it there. So, as I was thinking of this, and it's probably not the best example in the world, but it kept coming to mind, so we're going to use it. When I was in university, I liked to put up posters in my dorm room. And I had this poster of Michael W. Smith. And it wasn't this particular one, but it was pretty close, okay? We're talking early 1990s. Michael. So, yes. And it was funny because I didn't realize this, but in my dorm, I was on the party floor. So I was a little different than the girls on my floor. And this one girl came into my room, and she kind of looked around. And then I had, like, verses, and then I have this picture of Michael. And she went, you know, because you have that poster, you're okay. Okay, so we'll just move that on. All right. So, but the idea is we want to kind of picture this room that we have these pictures up. And if we look at them closely, you know what? They're not so good. They're not right, and we have to take them down, okay? And then we don't want to just keep them down, because if it's just bare, it's going to be boring. We might want to go back to what we had up before. We might just stick it up. We want to put up something new, and we want to keep it there, okay? So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to take down the lies. We're going to take down those things that we're believing that are lies. They might be disguised as light, as the right, but when we come right down to it, it's a lie. And God has given us this verse. It says, "For we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses." We are destroying. Everybody say destroying. Destroying. Oh, come on. I'm destroying. Come on, 1, 2, 3, destroying. Say it like you mean it. Yeah. I'm all choked up. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So when Paul wrote the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 11:3, one of his concerns was that their minds might be led astray from their pure and simple devotion to Christ. How could that happen? And in 1 Corinthians 11:3, he says, "Just as Eve was deceived by the serpent, so I'm afraid that you would be, your minds would be led astray from your pure and simple devotion to Christ." And how did the serpent deceive Eve? What was the question he asked her? Did God really say, right? Did he really say? He took God's words and he caused her to doubt them, right? And he does the same thing today. Did God really say to love your enemy? Not that guy who did such horrible things. Forgive? I'm sure not her. Remember what she did to you? Remember, he is a liar, the father of lies, a murderer, and there's no truth in him. So how do we recognize the lies that we're supposed to tear down, that we're supposed to destroy? Like, not just, we're supposed to, like, get rid of. That God has given us the weapons to do that. And the next thing is, we tear it in the garbage and we put up the truth. All right? So, were any of you here on Sunday when Brexy taught? On Sunday? Okay, I was like, you're just totally talking what we're going to talk about on Wednesday. When we study the Bible, who are we getting to know? We're getting to know Jesus. John 17:3, and he said that. Because we want the truth, and who is the truth? It's Jesus. In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And in John 17:3 says, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ you have sent." Okay? We need to know Jesus. That's eternal life. That knowing Jesus, when we come into relationship with him, as Brexy said, that's when eternal life starts. It's not when we die and go to heaven. Eternal life is now. And we're going to enjoy that on the joy heaven on the way to heaven, as Major Eaton Thomas used to say. So as Joy said, this week I got a new phone. Okay? And I'm not only excited because I got a new phone, but I had a really old phone. Okay? Not flip phone old, but the next one. Okay? That was my phone. And I went to get a replacement battery for it, and the guy just kind of looked at me and said, "What do you want?" And he looked at it and went, "You know, people upgrade their phones." He goes, "Kind of every 2 years." And I was like, "Oh, very good." So I'm like a kid in a candy store with this new thing. And I texted Joy the other night to tell her, and we honestly spent, I won't even say how long, texting back and forth because she was telling me all these really cool things that you could do. I'm like, fireworks? Special effects? I'm like, no way. And then I was looking at it myself, and I don't even know if I can do it, if I can find it again. I don't know. Oh, there it is. And then I was pressing these buttons, and all of a sudden I did this. A flashlight! Mind blown. Oh, my goodness. I didn't even know what it was. I was like, whoa. So anyway, I've had such a hoot with this thing. Anyway, but the thing is, if I didn't take the time to get to know my new phone, and if I didn't take the time to talk to somebody who would help me know my new phone, all I would be doing is calling and texting like I did on my old phone. It would be the same thing. But this sucker, like, I can't even tell you. I'm like, it does that too. But that's how it should be with Jesus, in the Word. Have you ever been in the Word and experienced him and been like, whoa, he is so loving. Oh my goodness. I was reading the other morning, you know, when he goes to the woman and she's putting her, the widow, and her only son died, and he comes up to her and he touches the casket and he calls her dear woman and he brings her son to life again. I'm like, he's so loving. He cried when Lazarus died. Oh my goodness, he cares. And as last week, he died for us that we can live. Mind blown. And it's there as we study his word and as we talk about it with others that we grow to know Jesus and we can only love him more and trust him more. Okay, in John 8:31, the verse at the bottom of the screen there. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, and that word continue means abide, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It all comes back to Jesus and abiding in Jesus. So then, when the devil says, did God really say? You can answer back, no. No way, because I know him, and he wouldn't say that, or he didn't say that, because he said this. The other, you know, and it just comes at all the weirdest times. This week, the enemy has been bringing up things. You know what? I think you did that. If you had been better when you were younger, you wouldn't be where you are today. If you had done this, and I was starting to feel really bad, and then this morning I was like, that's not true. I'm exactly where God wants me. So take that. Destroy. That's a destroying of the thoughts, right? Those are the thoughts we have to destroy. Or I have to, this is kind of, I don't even know, I think I told you, but I'm not sure if I did. So at the retreat in May, I actually had a really awful time. And not that the retreat was bad. The retreat was amazing. So if you don't know anything about retreat is very, very, like, unbelievable. But I actually had a really horrible time. And what had happened was, at every time I talked to somebody, and it was really odd, Friday night, Saturday morning breakfast, Saturday morning lunch, Saturday morning dinner, Sunday morning, all these people I talked to and things that happened reminded me about every horrible thing that happened in my life. And I tell you, I was a mess on Monday, and I came to Find Your Fit that night, and somebody said, wasn't the retreat amazing? And I was like, no, it wasn't. So later on in the week, I was praying, and I was like, you know, that's almost mean that God would do that. Like, let's just play This Is Your Life, Jenla, though, and it really, really is awful. And I said, Lord, that's mean. And I know your word says that you are not mean. So what on earth was all that about? And you know, in 2 seconds, he gave me a verse. And he gave me 2 Corinthians 12:9. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. For power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses that the power of Christ may dwell in me. All these things that God had brought to mind over the weekend that I felt such shame and such embarrassment and such sadness about, he's like, boast. Boast about them. Gladly. Because it's my power in you. This is something to be joyful about. And it changed my whole perspective on all of those things. Because that's what Jesus is. He's loving and he is kind. And when we know the truth, we can go against those lies. What if I lived in that lie that God's mean? My life would be so different, right? I'd be like, oh, that's horrible. But that's not who Jesus is. And because I knew it from being in his word, I was able to say, Jesus, what's the truth here? And he showed it because he loves me. So that's why we need to know the truth and put up the truth. But because we can be swayed, we have to keep it up there, ladies. We have to keep it up there. Philippians 4, 6 to 8 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Okay, does this not, you're like, really? Be anxious for nothing. And I think that's one of the tactics of the enemy. He loves to make us anxious. And don't you find that's kind of one of the themes? Like, it's almost like a banner. I'm anxious. I have anxiety issues. It almost becomes like this banner. And you know, even before I went away to Florida, do you know, every morning I woke up with this unbelievable fear on my mind of the day, of all the things that I had to do. And even on the first day of the holiday, I couldn't get to sleep that night because I had this crazy fear about our rental car. And so I was like, that's ridiculous. I'm on holidays. So I said, that's not true. God's going to protect us. So just get away. And all of a sudden, that fear just like vanished. And it was like, I was scared. Like, super, super scared, which is ridiculous. But that's what he does. He's a liar, and he wants us to live in such defeat, right? But what are we to do? We're to pray and be anxious for nothing. And with thanksgiving, just talk to God about it. And he's going to give us that peace. So then we can think of things that are true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, of good repute, excellence, worthy of praise. Those are the things we're supposed to dwell on. Oh my goodness, don't we dwell on the things that are not those things? We do, and we have to, that's why we need this truth in our lives to keep it there. And then we are going to live it out. All right, what was the whole purpose of being not conforming, but being transformed? It's to know God's will, to prove what the will of God is, that's which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Okay? It is a promise. When we are transformed, we will be able to know what God's will is. And it's his will is good, it's perfect, and it's pleasing. And sometimes we think that God's will is not so good, right? He has these higher ways. Stephen Curtis Chapman put it amazingly in a song, and I don't know if you know his story. He's a Christian singer, and he adopted these girls from China, and one of them got run over by a car, which his son was driving as he was backing out of the driveway. 5 years old, this little girl. And he wrote a song about her. It was called Michael and Maria, so there must have been somebody else, Elsa's child, who passed away as well at that same time. And he says, you know, if we're honest, we really don't like God's higher ways, but we will trust in him because what else can we do? We have to remember that what we see is not what he sees, and he has higher ways. We may not like it, but we have to know what's his will, good, perfect, and pleasing. Good, perfect, and pleasing. God's will is that. Doesn't mean that it's going to be Woohoo! there is, life is hard, but we have a God who loves us. And at the end of the day, we don't understand it, but for some reason, it is so good and perfect and pleasing in his eyes. We don't understand what that is, but he does. 1 Corinthians 2:5 says, your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. You know, I talked to a woman last summer. I was visiting my dad's church, and she was exhausted. She was anxious. And she told me the things that she had tried. She had tried counseling. She had tried family counseling. She had tried personal counseling. She tried yoga. She tried waking up, being thankful for 5 things, and going to bed, being thankful for 8 things. There were just all these. She was just trying, check, check, check. And she was not finding any success to battle all the things that she was going through. And I said, can we talk to Jesus about it and pray to him? Because that was the only thing she hadn't tried, was the one who loves her and wants to help her the most. We can get caught up and conformed to the world. But 1 John 2:17 says, the world is passing away and also its desires, but the one who does the will of God abides forever. Eternal life has started now. You are loved by the King, and we want to get that truth in our life. We want to take down those lies, recognize what they are, put up truth and keep it up there. Then we can just take down those thoughts and destroy them, because truth is Jesus. So let's just pray, and we'll get into our groups to discuss. So Lord, we thank you for your truth. We thank you that your word is truth. We thank you that you are truth, Lord. Everything is light to you. And Father, we just ask that we would have your truth tonight in our discussions. Lord, will you shine your light on those things, that we would have courage to share them with our sisters. We would have courage to bring out those things that need light shone on them, Lord, that we would be able to talk to each other and just have whatever discussion you want tonight about this. Will you just lead us and guide us? And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.